welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. Those of you who have listened the last several days, I commend you. You've been willing to stick it out because we've been hearing some rather hard sayings from the Word of God. And I've entitled this message, Two Choices. And James illustrates very dramatically in the third and fourth chapter of his epistle, the choices that we have. We can either choose to follow our carnal nature, or we can do what the Word of God says. After we are born again, the Spirit of God has come to dwell within our spirits, we are saved. If we died right then, we would go immediately to heaven. We are a child of God. That's what it means to be born again. However, that's only the beginning. With the length of time that God gives us, then our days are spent in learning about the Lord, learning how to be transformed by the renewing of our mind by the Word of God. Some people don't have that opportunity. A classic example, the thief on the cross, who said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He was dying, but he saw who Jesus was, and he had a heart change, unlike the other thief who was unrepentant. So we have choices, and the choice is, and remember, James is speaking to Christians. He's not speaking to the unsaved. This is not a doctrinal epistle. It's very, very practical, and it's not very pleasant because he gets down right where we live. And he says in chapter 3, verse 2, in many things we offend all, every one of us. There's not one of us righteous, no, not one. Every one of us, like sheep, has gone our own way. But Jesus, the Good Shepherd, came after us, and so now we seek to live lives that are pleasing to the Lord and reflect the goodness and the purity and the loving kindness of our Heavenly Father. So we've been looking at James, and he doesn't mince words. He is brutally honest, brutally frank. Yes, he's offensive because the flesh does not like to hear these kinds of criticisms. He says, all of the tongue no man can tame. All of us, have we not sinned with our tongue? It's full of deadly poison. We bless God and then we curse men. That's a pretty strong indictment. And then verse 13 says, who is a wise man and a dude with knowledge among you? Let him shew out of a good conversation. Let him show by his good life or out of his good conduct his works with meekness of wisdom. In other words, that his good deeds are done in humility, which wisdom prompts. Anyway, he goes on to say about bitter envyings and strife. He says, don't lie against the truth. And then he contrasts what our fallen nature desires to do, envy, be jealous, rivalry, a party spirit. You know what a party spirit is? That means someone gets dissatisfied, they're not happy, they're critical, and they start speaking to someone else, gossip, basically. And the purpose in that is to bring that person's opinion and sympathies into one accord with them. And thereby, that justifies their feelings. That justifies their responses, especially unless the person says, you know, you shouldn't be doing this. They're looking for approval is what they're doing, and we all seek to do that. You know, we don't want to take the blame. Look to the first sin, Adam and Eve. You know, Adam said, well, it was Eve. Eve says, well, it was a serpent. And yes, that was true, but we want to relieve ourselves of a sense of responsibility and obligation before God. And The Spirit of Truth won't allow that. And so the Spirit of Truth is speaking through James, and he says, the wisdom that is from above, not like what you're evidencing, that wisdom is not from above. It's earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish. But he says the wisdom that is from above, he's contrasting it now, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. That means open to reason, compliant, willing to yield, ready to be convinced, full of mercy and good fruits, rich in compassion and good deeds or kind actions, without partiality and without hypocrisy, free from partiality and insincerity, unambiguous, straightforward, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Praise God. So he's showing a contrast, and beloved, like everything else, God has given man free will, and we, every single human being upon the face of the earth, has that freedom of choice. The angels had it. They either served God, two-thirds of them, or the third that didn't, rebelled against God. And man has that same choice. We can be rebellious, or we can submit. We, you know, those of us who know Jesus, we can hardly wait for heaven. Can you imagine how wonderful it is going to be? But you know what heaven is like? It is simply an awareness and an agreement, a concord, if you will, with the will of God, who is love and peace and joy and all the beautiful things that describe his character, his attributes. There is no dissension. Why? Because finally, after all the centuries of pain and suffering and war, those that are there that have acknowledged Jesus, his lordship, his kingship, realize that doing things our own way, the choice Adam and Eve had in the garden, has brought nothing but sorrow and heartache and pain. And so the only good way to do it is, the only joyful way is to do it the way of the Lord. As for God, his way is perfect. You know, no good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly before him. So God has good things for us. However, James is not done with us. We're going on into the fourth chapter, and this is where he gets really very personal. All right, James 4:1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? And that I'm reading the Authorized King James, and then I have a 26 translation Bible. I'm giving other translations as they apply. That first says, what is the cause of the fighting and quarreling that goes on among you? Where do conflicts, where do wrangles come from in your society? Come they not hence, King James, even of your lusts that war in your members? Okay, let's get another translation. Is it not the passions which are ever at war in your natures? Is it not to be found in the desires which are always at war within you? Paul talked about that. Oh, wretched man that I am, the things that I would do, I don't do. The things that I do, I don't want to do them. Wretched me. Who shall deliver me? It's Jesus, of course. And he says that in the next verse. And so James is challenging us to be honest with ourselves. And what is he saying in this verse, first verse? It is a wrong motive. It comes out of seeking our pleasure, whatever that may be. There's no wiggle room. He doesn't give any outs. He doesn't whitewash it. He doesn't paint over it. What is causing strife? Why is it an issue? What, and this unfortunately is not just in the world. The sad thing is that happens in church families, in church congregations, in ministers' fellowships. Beloved, it's a sad thing that unless we are willing to humble ourselves before God and before one another and be submitted to God and submitted to one another, these kinds of things will always go on. I mean, look at the Christian family, one of the hardest criticisms is that there's so many denominations. A person who was a Christian, when they were born again, a brand new Christian, they didn't know where to go. What's the right church to attend? Because there's so many denominations which have come out of disagreement on doctrine. Some of it, you know, I'm not just saying in error, but The point is, we have not learned how to get along, because ultimately, there's no one denomination that's going to be advanced over others. There's just one church, one body, and you know what, beloved? There's only one head, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go on. Why are these fights and quarrels? Because of evil desires. And what does he say? They come from our lusts. That first, he lists five things: lust, jealousy, malice, pride, selfishness. The first one is lust. And that basically means we scheme, we do whatever we have to do to get what we really want. Now, in today's world, when we hear that word lust, we think of sexual terms, but that's not necessarily the case. It could be anything: a lust for food, a lust for ambition, for promotion, for appreciation or pride motivated, ambition. There's all kinds of things that cause us to strive, to seek our own way, to seek our own agenda. And then he says in verse 2, he said, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have. In other words, you crave, you do not obtain, you murder and rage, and you cannot obtain it. You can't get your goal. You can't get your end, the things that you're wanting. And then he says, we're jealous, basically. There's envy and jealousy going on. And that is, you know, jealousy is a dissatisfaction with where you're at. If you compare yourself to anyone else, beloved, you're always going to lose. God wants us to love ourselves in a godly way, in appreciation that we are a unique creation of his own hands and heart. And so, beloved, there's no reason to be jealous, because God loves and honors all of us. Yes, we have different talents, different educational backgrounds or intellectual levels, if you will, but God loves us and he's made us exactly as he desires us to be. Well, my time has just flown and we're going to continue on in this. As I said, this is personal, but the point is, this is a very social time of year, and if anything, we need to be generating goodwill and not strife. And unless we understand what's causing it, we won't make changes, and unless we're willing to confess. Well, more tomorrow. Tune in at the same time. And until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.